This week, fresh fighting between the army and M23 rebels erupts in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Multiple deadly conflicts have left tens of thousands displaced, adding to the millions already forced to flee their homes. Western embassies are beefing up security amid protests against alleged foreign influence. Will President Felix Tshisekedi use his second term to bring peace to the region? Or will he go to war with neighboring Rwanda over the deadly conflict? Straight Talk Africa starts now. This is Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA's headquarters in Washington. I'm Heidi Adams. It is so good to be with you. South Africa is preparing to deploy nearly 3,000 troops to the Democratic Republic of Congo to help fight rebel groups in the conflict-ridden eastern part of that country. Now, the DRC is roughly the size of Western Europe, and Eastern Congo has spent decades in the grip of violent conflict, fueled by a complicated brew of geopolitics, ethnic and national rivalries, and competition for control of the Eastern DRC's abundant national resources. Sources. Rachel Graham explains.
Police in the Democratic Republic of Congo fired tear gas to disperse protesters in Kinshasa on Monday. Demonstrators were burning tires and US and Belgian flags near Western embassies and United Nations offices. They accused the West of supporting neighboring Rwanda, which is alleged to back the Tutsi-led M23 rebellion.
We are claiming our rights. France and the United States are fostering the war in the Eastern DRC by supporting the rebellion. A country like Rwanda cannot fight against the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We are marching. We are not breaking or destroying people's property. But the head of the police is sending his officers to chase us away.
The M23 group's recent advances threaten the strategic eastern city of Goma in the conflict-hit Eastern Congo region. Rwanda has denied accusations that it backs M23. However, Congo, Western governments, including the United States and Belgium, as well as reports from a United Nations expert group, indicate that the rebel group benefits from Rwandan support. Decades of conflicts in Eastern Congo between myriad rival armed groups over land and resources and brutal attacks on civilians have killed hundreds of thousands of people and displaced more than 7 million.
And that was Rachel Graham of Reuters reporting there. Now, to help us better understand what is at stake, especially in the wake of a tense and turbulent presidential election, I'm joined by VOA's Anastasi Tudieshe. She has covered the conflict, the recent presidential election, and has just returned from the DRC. Anastasi, it's great to have you in studio. You did fantastic reporting over the election. Thank you for your work, and I'm so glad to have you here. Look, the DRC, I think people sometimes forget how big a country this is. It is a huge country, but there are these multiple conflicts happening in the eastern parts. You've covered the recent presidential election. You've traveled throughout the country, spoken to people. Was this conflict a central theme for the political candidates, for the incumbent as he was vying for a second term, and for voters throughout the country?
Well, thank you, first of all, Heidi, for having me here. I'm very happy to be back and to be able to have this exchange live, face-to-face. So you mentioned it. When we talk DRC, we need to think scale. We're talking about a sub-Saharan Africa, largest country that spans almost a million square miles divided in two time zones. So what happens in Goma, for instance, is almost 1,000 miles from Kinshasa. That is the distance between Ivory Coast and Nigeria. So we need to keep that in mind. And in any country with infrastructure containing, let alone end a conflict, could be difficult. But in a country like DRC, DRC lacks in that department. So that's one point that is very important to keep in mind. The second one is that I want to add that other provinces are experiencing conflicts at the same time. Mm. The Kivus, of course, but Ituri in Kasai, Maindombe also are going through very violent conflicts. So it's not just one front. Mm. There are several. Number three, you were asking about the fact that if it was a major theme, it was a major theme. It was a central theme. And what is interesting is that people I have met in the streets for the Vox Pops were very concerned with the ending the violence in the eastern part of the DRC, and so were the candidates. The main contenders, all of them have been in the Kivus, and they also have placed security as a very important theme for their campaign, but they showed a will without expressing the way. That's the problem.
Acknowledging the problem without having a real plan. Now, of course, with the election campaign now behind him, the election promises behind him, we're not sure. But is President Félix Tshisekedi actually able to deliver peace? If we think realistically, I mean, what do people think he can realistically do about this conflict?
Heidi, I think it's not about the man, it's about the team. You know, so of course he has a symbolic importance and presence. It is very important that he embodies what the whole country actually wants. But with whom?
Who he surrounds himself with.
Who does he surround himself with? And we have seen that during his first mandate, he has appointed Jean-Pierre Bemba.
Right. Surprising.
Yes. So all of us were surprised. But it didn't end the conflict.
Right.
So I think it's the team in the country and also the relationship he will be able to develop, the alliances he will be able to develop with other countries.
It's not just on him. Tough task to give him. His defense minister, if I'm correct, Jean-Pierre Bemba.
Absolutely.
Right? So we're seeing anti-Western protests in Kinshasa, where U.S. and Belgian embassies now have had to beef up their security. Anastasia, what is behind the burning of the flags, as well as these calls for these Western nations to leave?
Well, as we are speaking, I know that Institut Français is closed and lots of foreigners are really scary and stay at home. Well, this is not the first time. It won't be the last time that people protest that way. This is only a symptom of frustration. Mm-hmm. All people want, and they kept telling me during my stay in DRC, they want peace. And they have the feeling that Western countries are more invested into what happens in Russia, for instance, or other parts of the world than in DRC. And what they see also is that all these Western countries benefit from DRC's riches without showing some compassion and real commitment to end the war in the eastern part.
And real serious interest in DRC attaining peace.
Exactly.
South Africa is sending troops to that country as part of a SADC contingent. What does President Tshisekedi hope SADC will accomplish in this, that other troops or other contingents like MONUSCO, etc., have not accomplished in the past?
Well, what is happening here is not, I don't think it's a question of what does he expect from them that hasn't happened before. This is a dire situation, and it has been a dire situation for almost three decades. So you will try any and everything. So this is just one more attempt to see if what hasn't been efficient previously could be this time.
Is some of this also a lack of a plan on his part?
Well, you know, for a war that is continuing and that has been for so long, and that change, you know, everything changes on the field. There are so many armed groups, and it's very difficult to grasp exactly what is happening on the field, even for those who are there. So I would say planning is not an easy task for anyone. So I am really convinced he's trying his best. Now, again, it's not about just one man.
Right.
It's about strategy, it's about a team, and it's about how you deploy yourself and how you make sure that those countries who say they are DRC's friends go come go and help you. And there is also another problem that is a very deep problem, is that inside the army, the Congolese army, people are known to are not exactly working for DRC. That's a huge problem that needs to be solved, and that hasn't been solved yet.
So this is an ongoing story we're going to keep covering, and we'll have you back for sure, Anastasi.
I'll be very happy.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That was my colleague, VOA journalist Anastasi Tudieshe, speaking to me there. Stay with us. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll take a look at the factors fueling the conflict in the DRC, the prospects for peace, and the possible threat of war. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
You're with Straight Talk Africa. Welcome back. What and who is fueling the conflict in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo? And could all the finger pointing between the DRC and Rwanda lead to full-scale war between the two countries? My guests this week are Jean-Paul Rocha. He's the executive director of Congo Today, an organization here in the United States that advocates for peace and reconciliation in the DRC. And also with us is Patrick Sabineza. He's an independent analyst and an advisor at Harvard Business Review, and he joins us from New York City. We don't have him with me. Seems like we lost him. We're going to try and get Patrick back. Jean-Paul, I'm going to kick things off here with you. Give us the lay of the land just very briefly here. Who and what exactly is fueling this conflict?
Well, that's a huge question. But I have to define what is the conflict.
All my questions are going to be loaded and huge, it seems.
Yes. The conflict started with the division of ethnic, which we've been talking about for a long time as a Congo Today. And we've been VOA many times talking about it. The division is between, I call it Tutsi, that's how it started, and being told by other people, other Congolese, that they should move to go to different countries. And then it became an issue. It started in South Kivu, in a place called Murenge, for Banyamurenge issue. And then it ended up to come to North Kivu, where there is M23 now. Not only that, but it went to Ituri. The conflict has been there for a while. So what we were hoping, when Tshisekedi was elected, we thought that he's going to reconcile everybody, but which didn't happen. Remember, M23 started being there in 2012. It was defeated. They went to neighboring countries, and then they came back after they didn't found the peace talk that they was looking for. Now it's an issue that is there. To respond to your question, there is nobody who's benefiting. There is nobody who has an interest in it. They are seeking for their right. They are seeking to have their people to come back to Congo. That's what's happening right now.
And the way things are going, what in your view and in your experience do you think is likely to happen here? Peace at some point? Or could this conflict deepen? And could we be looking at war as, you know, the Congolese president, Felix Tshisekedi, accused Rwanda of backing M23?
I think that is they need a diplomatic talk to resolve the issue. Everything can be resolved. It's a matter of the top leaders to understand each other and to understand that that reconciliation has to take a time and to be. But unfortunately, the government of Congo, President Tshisekedi, has said that he will never talk. He will resolve it militarily, which is hard, which is why causing all these consequences. As you can see, if there is a map they can show, I will show you where the M23 is now. It's in 23 miles to Goma, in a place called Sake. Sake is the second huge city in North Kivu.
As we have the map pulled up there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then if we have the map, I will show you exactly where Goma is and then where Sake is. Goma, it is surrounded. They have only one way, either to go to Rwanda, if they are freed. If the M23 decided to capture the city of Goma, they have to flee to go to Kigali or using the Lac Kivu to go to Bukavu. Other than that, everything else have been captured by M23.
Wow, that is interesting. Patrick Sabaneza, we're going to bring you in here. We seem to have you back. Patrick, I don't know, we've been talking about what exactly is fueling this conflict and whether we're looking at the prospect of war here potentially, or could peace actually come out of this? But is there also a risk, Patrick, of a regional conflagration? I mean, we're already seeing mass displacement inside the DRC, a humanitarian spillover, if nothing else, in Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi and Tanzania. In what ways does this conflict affect neighboring countries, affect the region? Because wouldn't those other countries also want to do everything in their power to make sure that, you know, this conflict is brought under control and eventually to an end?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing in Hedy. It's really true that there is a strong risk that the conflict will become regional. In fact, it has become regional, didn't correct myself, because now we have troops from South Africa and from so many other countries fighting on the ground around Goma. This has brought us back to where we were about 20 years ago. Yes, every country has an interest in bringing peace to DRC, and there is no advantage whatsoever for any country to destabilize DRC, despite accusations from both sides in Kinshasa, as well as Kigali, accusing each other of wanting to create instability in the eastern of DRC. So yes, absolutely, there is a huge interest for every country to bring peace to that part of the DRC that has been under violence for the last 30 years.
And I want to talk a little bit more to both of you about sort of where the world's attention is on this issue. But coming back to you, Patrick, we've seen protest in Kinshasa against the United States, in particular against Belgium, demonstrators there burning U.S. flags, burning Belgian flags, supporting and accusing, sorry, the demonstrators are accusing the U.S., they're accusing Belgium of supporting Rwanda's President Paul Kagame. These images, I must say, do look a little similar to what we've seen in places like Mali, Burkina Faso. What does this Western influence that they talk about actually look like in reality?
This Western influence that they're talking about is really hard to describe, because it's you know, the United States has interests in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. For example, they are investing more than $300 million in Lobito corridor in southeastern DRC. You know, Belgium has long-standing interest in DRC since colonial times. So these countries have been involved in DRC in so many ways, in more ways than one. So it's really hard for the local population not to see that these countries have been in the country and have been involved in so many sectors. You know, the U.S. ambassador speaks on a weekly basis, if I may say that, about the DRC. She tweets every day. So the local population sees that the U.S. and Belgium, the two most influential countries in DRC, are involved. Now the question is, are they involved at the level where they call Rwanda to come and shoot the Congolese people? That is a hard question to answer. But historically, Rwanda has been accused of destabilizing the DRC, supporting M23. Not only M23, but if you look at history over the last 30 years, Rwanda has had a hand in DRC. The region where I come from in South Kivu, Rwanda sent rebels to come and destabilize South Kivu. And the UN and so many other agencies have reported on that. So the conflict in that region really, it will be really hard to blame the local population if they misidentify the enemy of DRC and start burning flags and calling death to America or Belgium.
Jean-Paul, this conflict, excuse me, has been referred to international headlines and by aid groups as the forgotten conflict, a forgotten crisis. Has the world's attention been diverted largely away from Eastern DRC, the conflict, the humanitarian crisis unfolding there? And what should they be doing? What have they not been doing right so far? And what should the international community be doing here?
I would divide it into three categories. Number one, there is too much refugee going on, displacement of people who are in the internal country. There is people who are coming from Sake right now, 1,000 and 1,000, to go in one city of Goma, which have almost 2 million people, very small, without food, without nothing. Remember, like I just said, they are all the way from Masisi, from Kibumba, from Sake. There is no way you can bring any food or anything in Kinshasa. Therefore, those people need support to be that. The international community should support them on that area, humanitarians, to give them food. Second, the international community should stand up and help diplomatically to resolve this issue. The question you asked the friend Patrick about Rwanda, and the way...
Right, Rwanda denies involvement in M23.
And, you know, there is no way you can blame someone on this issue. I think the issue is Congolese people, the government of Congo, to take a charge and to resolve the issue. The head of M23, he's a Congolese from South Kivu. The gentleman just said that he's from South Kivu. The president of M23, he's from South Kivu. He's Congolese. Makenga, his Congolese, is from North Kivu. Most of the every big people who are there, they are Congolese. Therefore, the government of Congo should call the dialogue, and that's where the international community should help. The mistake of mistaken Kagame with President Kagame with USA with Belgium, I think it's a misunderstanding the issue. The issue should be resolved internally by the government, by the people, and educate the population, tell them that this is the way we are going to reconcile the people. Don't kill each other on the road, don't do this, and then we end the problem right away.
Patrick, I'm going to give you a chance to respond there.
Absolutely. I totally agree with Mr. Paul, Jean-Paul here, and what he's talking about solution. The solution is internal. It has to come from inside the DRC. But responsibility of the conflict is regional, if not global. The DRC is, as I say, there are so many countries that have interest in this country. Historically speaking, there are so many countries. There's a number of countries, especially neighboring countries, that need to be blamed because they have a history of creating not only chaos for the DRC, but also deny they don't have a responsibility. They don't have a hand in DRC, but there are so many reports that are really, really hard to deny that have come out for the last 30 years. So it's really hard to not really find somebody to blame, especially with all these reports that we have seen over the last 30 years.
We've got about 2 minutes here, Jean-Paul. We see the South Africans sending troops. It's part of a static contingent that includes Malawi as well and Tanzania. What can they accomplish? Because we are also looking at MONUSCO. They're beginning a withdrawal in May, if that is still in place. Does the SADC troops, will that help or hurt the situation?
No. They don't have the same budget as MONUSCO had. They don't even have close to that. They are not from there. They don't know the local language. They don't know who does what, how does it done. The only solution is President Tshisekedi and his government to talk with these people. That's the only solution. The solution of fighting, even if we bring the whole army of SADC, they will not resolve anything. From the experience we have, the peace talk is the only way. They've been there. They've been doing that. In 2012, SADC was there. Tanzania was there. They fought with M23. But the problem is back. We're in 2024. And that was in 2012 and 2013, which the names of M23. M23, it means March 23. That's when they signed their agreement. It didn't put in the press. Because of that, it's coming back. Even if you do what, the issue will still be there. The only solution is peace talk. We talk with them. That's where international community should come in. That's where the U.S. should come in, Belgium, France, and all that. But there is an issue of that, because Congolese people think that for them banning the flags of Belgium and the USA, it's because they think that the Russia and the China will help them to resolve that issue.
I was wondering when Russia was going to be brought up.
Right. That's where their very big hope is. Therefore, they don't need American. Not even to talk about President Kagame and all that. For them, they trust that Russia and China will help them, and which is what they have been feeding by the politician, which is wrong. The only solution is peace and stability in the country, which is what President Tshisekedi should be doing. As a president, he should not let resolve the issue militarily. He never resolved anything. We have seen it for 30 years, nothing I have ever done.
Patrick, if you can give me an answer in about 30 seconds, I'll give you a chance here quickly. Do you think SADC will help or hurt here?
In the short term, yes. But in the long term, as Jean-Paul said, it won't solve the issue. In 2012-13, this part of SADC, the SADC troops help defeat M23, but that was not a long-term solution. After 10 years, we see M23 coming back. So yes, certainly dialogue and national reconciliation is the solution to this problem, and it has to come from the central government mm-hmm. in Kinshasa. So to answer your question, the military solution is a short-term solution that doesn't get rid of the root causes of the conflict, which is mainly the persecution of the minorities in DRC, especially
gentlemen,
in the eastern part of DRC.
I have so many more questions, but I will have you both back on the show again. Thank you so much, Jean-Paul and Patrick. I do appreciate your insights, and I appreciate your time. That is our show this week. Thanks to the more than 300 affiliate TV and radio stations airing the show throughout the African continent. Thanks to you for watching. See you next time. Bye.